Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by Brett Goldstein, comedian, actor, writer of Ted Lasso.
Yes. I love that show, Paul.
Yeah.
I really love it.
As you'll discover, never misses. Susie McCabe talked Celtic. And kept a level head after they went out of the Champions League last night. Comedian.
Giving him time, Paul.
Yeah, which good
I'm
news.
Surprised at.
And we had a birthday spread, another thriller, just like last week. But which way did it go? Here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charles.
Good afternoon, Paul. I was watching the shooting this morning.
Watching
you see
the
that?
Shooting, yeah.
At
yeah,
the
yeah.
Olympics. I was saying to you earlier, wasn't it? I'm pleased when I get all this stuff out of the way and the track and field starts. Because that's like the main.
All this stuff. It's great. All these athletes who spent 4 years working so hard.
It's like the main
all
course,
this
isn't
stuff
it?
Out
the track.
The
all this stuff at the moment is like your hors d'oeuvre. And I love an hors d'oeuvre. I love a starter.
Yeah. Okay.
Love a starter.
Right.
And, but the main course is the track and field, isn't it? But I was watching the shooting.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
thinking, how do you get into that? Is it like, you know, with Paul? You always fancy a player if they bring their own cue in. Someone turns up to their first go at shooting with their own gun.
Yeah.
Is that, do you think that'd be frowned upon? Or what sort of gun do you have to have? You know, all those things. I'd like to know how you get in.
How you get into shooting. Tell Charlie how to get, you fancy getting into
yeah.
shooting?
Also, the
good?
Bloke who won it.
You ever fired a gun?
Never fired a gun, Paul. Well, I fired an air rifle.
Okay.
But the bloke who won
well,
it
the principles the same.
He's second. Silver, he was 46.
Wow.
I'm 45, Paul. I thought there's still time.
Yeah, you've got
can
a year
still
to
be
get
an
up
Olympian.
To speed. Yeah.
Is Crown Green still in the Olympics? Is it?
I don't think it is. No.
It's a
sadly not. Good wood. There'd
yeah.
be a chance
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
Now, I've worked out what's a really good job at the Olympics.
Oh, yes.
And it's the side of the lake where the rowing goes on.
Yeah.
And whenever a boat crosses the line, have you noticed that? One of the boats crosses, you hear. And it's like one of those little kids' bike horns. And it's somebody's job there to stand there with a little the black rubber squeezy bike horn and just wait to be crossed and go,
I've always wondered, is that automatic? Or is there someone standing there going,
no. Imagine that. You're thinking, who's doing that? And there's a bloke with big shoes on, the red nose.
Doors falling off his car.
He just pulls up just in time for the race, playing When the Saints Go Marching In on a soprano sax. All the doors fall off, smoke coming out the back.
Well, the other job that's good is in the cycling, isn't it? On the gurney, on the old motorbike.
I love the way you say gurney. More on that in a second. Gurney.
Oh, right. Oh, is there more Gurney, is it?
Yeah.
The talkie had a player called Andy Gurney.
Gurney.
Andy Gurney, left back when he got
once. Do you
know
regional pronunciations of words in England could vanish within 45 years, they've said. They're
not,
worried.
Not on my watch.
The axe gone then, isn't it?
Yeah, the axe out of the window. But that's all I've got, Paul.
But it's
listen to my funny voice.
It's a worry, Charlie. It's a worry because no one wants that. No one's regional accents to all die out.
No.
They don't sound the same.
Why are they saying that's going to happen?
I think it's certain words that they've used. They said different pronunciations of words such as strut, which rhymes with foot in the north, the metro tell us.
What, you're strutting about?
Strut, that's how they're claiming, will merge into a southeastern version.
No,
I don't believe
never.
That. 45 years.
They think it's going to flatten out, do they? They think that's what it is.
Thousands of years for it to happen so far, and it hasn't. So what's the difference? Also, I noticed, Charlie, you sent out a post on Twitter the other day.
Yes.
Of something that you traditionally say, I guess, down in the West Country, when you get off a bus.
Yeah, I messed up, Paul. I'm embarrassed.
Okay.
And I'd like to hold my hands up and apologise to the people of Newton Abbott and the people, everybody sort of south, Bristol and south.
Yeah.
The West
I'm
Country.
Quite impressed, though, in the West Country, that when you leave a bus, you address the driver.
I mean, always say thank you, you know, but you don't. I made the mistake. I got off the bus and I said, thanks, mate. Which is...
yeah, that's what I'd probably say. Thanks, mate.
Of course you would, because you're not from the West Country, Paul.
No.
The accepted vernacular and the only way to get off a bus in the West Country is cheers drive.
Really?
That's the only... Cheers drive...
So that's what
cheers drive.
Yeah,
and then that's how you say it.
You see the hang up there,
and it is like a badge of honour.
Yeah,
and I haven't been back in a while.
Is that something that the older generation would the kids
everybody
do that?
Everybody would know.
Kids
yeah.
will do that. Oh, cheers drive.
Cheers drive.
Okay,
it's part of it, Paul. I think you get thrown out. You get your cards taken off you. Your West Country cards, pasty taken out your pocket. You get a
like that branded.
Dizzy, you have to hand your pasty in like a cop.
No. Is that
being retired?
Once you have to hand the pasty in, can you not cross the border again? Can't cross the bridge.
I don't know. I don't know how long it's from allowed to go back and buy a cream tea the right way around.
Who's the keeper of the pasties? Who keeps them until you can get it back?
Well, it's just
is it a bit like you have to go?
That's Ivor Dewdney.
Do you have to go?
Ivor Dewdney is the main pasty maker in Plymouth.
Do you have to go and do a West
Nine
Country
shops,
course?
Paul. Yeah, you have to go back.
A 2-hour one. There'll be you and a load of kids.
Exactly.
Everybody who's heard on the West, and it's a bit like you do if
now,
you go.
Who is
go
this? Your sister or your cousin? Make the right choice.
Charlie. Anyway, one of the things, I can guarantee you that everyone north of Sheffield will not be adopting any southern dialect anytime soon.
I completely agree
with you.
It's not going to happen. Everyone
Nobody
wears
wants
it a badge of honour, isn't it?
Of course. Yeah, you want that. You want to go to different parts of the world near things like Cheers Drive.
I might start
using that here.
Do you not say thank you when you go?
When's
the last time you were on a bus, Paul?
I don't know. A couple of months ago.
Yeah,
If I get off the back, it's harder. I mean, the old days, you got off the front and stuff. It was different. But if you're getting off the back, cheers, drive. You can't shout down the bus, frightening old lady. It gets a bit much, doesn't it? Now, you sent me something earlier on from Rightmove.
I've been busy, haven't I?
Of a house for sale in Luton.
Too much time spent on a bus.
Yeah, house for sale in Luton. And the thing about it was, it's slap bang next door to one of the turnstiles at Kenilworth Road.
It is. It's
but
there.
It's very interesting in that the sales spiel that the that the estate agents had put out, they make no mention at all of the fact that he's next door to one of the turnstiles at Kenilworth Road.
Big bloke dressed as a hatter there and like Luton Town, big Eric Morecambe statue or whatever.
Yeah,
there.
Nothing at all. What it says is close to the town centre, not basically next to the football ground. I mean, I know it's pretty obvious from the picture because you can see it in it, but I'd say that place is not as advertised, because if you're thinking, oh, we're looking for a place near the town centre, well, look, go along and see it. There's one or two other things that may put you off, like being right next to the turnstile.
This turnstile next to the front door, is that ever used? Is that a right of way?
So if you've ever found yourself, we'll keep it nice and open-ended, it doesn't have to be houses, but stuff that you basically, you went out your way to go and see, and it was not as advertised.
No, yeah,
so do let us know. If only they'd given you a little bit more background and saved you a heck of a lot of time.
A long time, yeah.
Later on, we're going to be talking to someone who knows Razzy Erasmus pretty well from his time at Munster. And because Razzy, the Springboks coach, done over an hour's long rant with complete with clips saying how they were sawn off in the first test.
Real sort of divorced dad energy going through everything that's wrong with your mum. He's gone through that match with. And then this is a definite knock on.
And our producer makes it, it was the full Kevin Keegan. And as you pointed out, Charlie said, they've got to go to Cape Town and get something. It was like that, wasn't it?
And he'd love it.
I'd love it. It was fantastic.
That's right. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport. Stephen says, I'm a London cabbie. I work Paddington Station, which obviously serves the West Country. And if someone had given me a pound for every time someone had said to me, cheers, drive, I'd be a millionaire.
That was your effort. It was
well, I just
had a go at it, didn't you, Paul?
It's fine. I can't do it in a London accent.
Everyone likes having a go at
it's
it.
It's not something we'd say, is it?
Cheers, drive.
You wouldn't say
cheers, drive. Yeah. Lovely, Paul, isn't it? Just nice.
It's nice. It
gives
is
everyone
nice.
A bright start to the
it's
day.
It's nicer than cheers, mate, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you respect them that they've done a job for you, Paul.
Yeah, okay. You know,
there we are.
Anything else you want to share with the class? We can't get through to our guests.
Oh, really?
In Japan.
Can't get through to
them.
That's a shame. We're getting a lot of people saying, not as advertised, my other half or any dating app. We've got those, you know.
We take that as read. We get a lot of my misses, etc. We get thousands of those every day for any call subject. So we don't need those.
Exactly.
When will people stop ringing 999, wasting everybody's time? The latest one, apparently, the last 2 weeks, the ambulance service were getting called. From people that were sweating profusely.
Oh, no.
And wanted an ambulance to make it stop. What have you got in your pocket there, Charlie?
We've got some things to talk to you about.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Good. Oh, I was going to give you parrot news yesterday.
Parrot news, yeah.
There was a parrot. I've lost the piece.
We didn't intend to do this, by the way. The guest hasn't turned up.
There was a parrot 2 days ago that had been kidnapped, and it was so annoying that they'd given it back to the owner, the parrot, and this is a very African parrot, but this is a new one. This is Laura Mitchell, her parrot Piper, right? Yeah. And he accompanies...
plays the pipes.
Be lovely, wouldn't it?
When
lovely
will act. We see... that'd be fantastic.
I'll tell you what, that would walk Britain's Got Talent.
Got some puff, isn't it? A parrot that could play the bagpipes.
At the London Palladium.
Yeah.
Oh, just amazing.
I'd go myself. I'd buy a ticket this evening.
Here we go. Yeah. Anyway, right, Parrot the Piper accompanies her on mountain hikes and shouts, adventure!
Yeah.
Adventure! Which is lovely, isn't it?
He shouts adventure.
He shouts adventure, yeah. Once okay. It's a 5-year-old African grey, gets her on his shoulder. Once I got him to use his harness, and I took him up with me, the harness is about 80 feet long, so he can fly about if he likes. This.
Wow.
People do all sorts of parrots. Talkie United's chairman, Mike Bateson, used to breed parrots.
Yeah.
And he always used to say he made more money out of the parrots than he did out of Talkie United.
He would also do press conferences with a ventriloquist dummy.
Algernon.
And he'd go in and...
Not just press conferences. He'd negotiate with players and their agents.
Who's playing at the GAC? I don't know who's playing at the GAC. It's a corner. Get GAC in the GOX. I don't want to go in the GOX.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's me, Charlie Baker, here on TalkSport. That, of course, is the theme music to the excellent Ted Lasso on Apple TV.
I could sit here and pretend I've seen it, Paul. I've seen a lot about it. I've seen everyone's told me to watch it.
Right.
Everyone's told me it's right up my street. Have I seen it yet? No.
Well, I know it's a big
it's a shame for me.
It's a fiver commitment for you, Charlie.
I'm happy to do that, especially for Brett, who's one of the nicest men in the world.
Ted Lasso season 2 kicked off. Episode 1 is currently available. They're drip feeding them through, which I thought was quite interesting. Yeah. I found out of my cost last night when I tried to watch episode 2. Anyway, let's give you a flavour of the second season.
So, you're heavily favoured this weekend. You think this will end your embarrassing streak of draws?
Lloyd, I've never been embarrassed about having streaks in my draws. You know, it's all part of growing up.
I think it's time for these young fellas to meet that guy.
Oh, no. Let that up.
Hey, you little turd birds! Start touching your toes! And touch each other's toes.
What?
How long was that?
Not as long as last time, but nobody was hurt.
Okay.
People saying there's something wrong with us. Not the way I see it. I believe in communism. Rom communism, that is. If Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan can go through some heartfelt struggles and still end up happy, then so can we. Under pressure.
All right, let's go kick their butts.
Butts on three.
Works for me. One, two, three.
Butts!
There we are. And yes, joining us now, Roy Kent, hard man, now retired.
Oh, really?
A comedian, actor, he writes it. He's involved in the writing. Brett Goldstein joins us. Hi, Brett.
Hello, how are you?
We're good.
Very good.
Yeah, we're good. You're all over. You're all over the show, aren't you? You've got many roles. How did your involvement come about?
Can we just deal with the fact that Charlie hasn't seen it?
Oh, that's great. Yeah. He's watched the trailer.
And Brett, I knew you were coming on, and I'm like, Brett's my friend. I should watch his show. Everyone's told me to see it. It's like you've made the show for me. It's about football.
Yeah, it's nice.
And I've not. Listen, I'm so sorry, Brett.
What I want you to know is when we were in the writer's room, right, we had a picture of you on the wall. You were, and it was like, this is who the show is for. Yeah. Every decision we made was filtered through with Charlie Light.
I know, do you know what I know? It's because you've turned from being the dirty nightclub comic I knew you as once, and you've turned into a multinational superstar,
yeah.
Brett.
I'm still a dirty nightclub comic,
have I? So you were writing it, and then they asked you to be in it. Is that how it happened?
No, I was writing on it, and then I decided I wanted to be in it. So I waited until I'd finished writing on it, and then I sent them a secret tape, and I said, if this is embarrassing, please pretend you never got this email, and I'll never ask you if you got it. But if you like it, I think I understand this part and could play it.
Oh, and
they couldn't be bothered to keep looking, so I got the part.
That's how most of show business is done, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We can't be bothered anymore.
Yeah.
Who's going to be next James Bond? Oh, just get anyone.
The amount of people who are emailing in with self-tapes to Barbara Broccoli. Yeah. Look, I know this is a bit... I know you're bored of looking. This is me in my attic in a tux.
It's an unlikely route, isn't it, to a sitcom, if you like, because Jason Sudeikis came in and saw us about 8 years ago, because Ted Lasso started life as a promo for NBC's Premier League football coverage, and you kind of felt it as a character. It had legs. It was a great character, and that was a little 5-6 minute video, but it worked, didn't it, even on that level?
Yeah, well, and also it was a big sign for me, because originally in those promos he was a Tottenham, he worked for Tottenham, didn't he?
Yeah.
And that's my team, so when this opportunity came up, I was like, oh, it's a sign. he's a Tottenham boy, whether he likes it or not. And one of the co-creators, this is the part I can never get my head around, Brendan Hunt, who plays Coach Beard, who's one of the co-creators. He's an Arsenal fan, which disgusts me to my core.
Oh.
And I'm sort of always saying to him, you know, this show exists because of Tottenham. How can you betray us?
So just for if anyone hasn't seen it, and if they're doing an interview on national radio,
for example,
if anyone's doing an interview on national radio with one of their friends,
a pint it costs to watch it,
and their friend who's in it and needs to think of a question, can you describe the show?
No, I can describe. Okay, the show is about a American football coach who is brought to England to manage a Premiership football team, despite knowing absolutely nothing about the sport. It turns out there's a reason he's been brought here, which I won't reveal. And it becomes a comedy of cultures colliding and people trying to be better in very difficult circumstances.
Classic fish out of water.
Well, I have a theory that a lot of football managers are just guessing. I think you get some football managers, you think, yeah, they know what they're doing. They've got a structure and a theory of what they're doing, and the team plays in a certain way. But then quite a lot of football managers,
are absolutely
guessing.
Yeah.
Charlie, here's the thing. I watched the All or Nothing documentary. I absolutely loved it.
Right? Oh, yeah.
But when I watched it, I sort of thought to myself, my God, really, the job is, once the season starts, every half time, it's just a different way of saying, come on, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Come on, lads.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. We could do this. That is it. That's
the job,
isn't it?
A lot of guessing going on. But this isn't the first time you've got yourself a job or done. He's an impressive person, Paul. Mm. Brett. Oh, yeah. You made your own movie, didn't you? But you a really successful Super Bob. Super Bob. Saw that.
You saw that. Did you?
I saw that. Yeah. Super Bob. You made that. Funded it or got it funded completely yourself. You got it out, really did the whole thing.
Well, I mean, a lot of that credit has to go to John Drever, the director, who he did the getting the money bit, which I still to this day don't really understand how that bit works. I think you just go door to door.
It's a numbers game.
Like Bob a Job Week.
It's a numbers game. It's like, that's it. It's like, have you had a slip, trip or fall? I understand you've had an accident. It's all it is, just a numbers game.
This
second series, I was saying, Brett, they're kind of drip feeding it through. All the season one's available on Apple TV to get up to speed. Yeah. But did they do that with the first series? Did they sort of introduce an episode a week, or is this?
They did. In the first season, they put out the first three at once, and then it was weekly. But this time they're trying to make it as annoying as possible for people who really just want to watch. But I think it's cool. I like that because it does. It's like it makes it, it's exciting, isn't it? You've got something to look forward to. But I also appreciate that everyone's used to binging and it's very annoying.
Yeah, I can't be doing with that anymore. I can't be doing because like
you've made that clear.
Schitt's Creek, which is basically what people have said, it's very like in tone, in sort of kind, happy tone.
Yeah.
That's got like six series in it, and I didn't watch one of them until they'd all been done.
Yeah.
I thought I'm not. It's like when you watch Line of Duty.
We had a global pandemic, though, Charlie. You wouldn't have done that.
I think I'm going to wait for Ted. When does he die in any of the episodes soon, or do I have to give it another series?
I'm sort of contractually not allowed to tell you when. But I appreciate that you may be waiting many, many years before you finally watch it. I'll probably be dead by the time you finally send me a text saying, I watched it. It's all right, actually.
Yeah. I'm doing the same with EastEnders as well, and it's taking ages.
Yeah, I know. That end Corrie. You're asking a lot.
That is a big box set.
Yeah, that is. So, well, it is a lovely show. I've seen them all, Charlie. I have to put you to shame. Okay, it is great. It's
good. What a great guy.
It's got a lot of heart. My missus doesn't particularly like football, but she really enjoys it. Mm. I know a lot of people I got friends in Australia are saying, we love it as well. They're not big football fans. I think don't be put off by the fact that it's nominally about a football club, because it kind of isn't really, is it?
No, it's about relationships and, looking out for each other and trying to be better people and marriage and divorce and panic attacks. It's all in there.
Mm. Yeah. But there's enough football. Stuff. Like football, there is enough football in it for you. That's what I'm trying to say, really, because there are mods to it. Because your character is retired, and it's a position that obviously a lot of players find themselves in, finding something to do. Mm. And I think that will be part of this second season, I guess.
See, I think...
Yeah.
Sorry,
go on, Charlie.
I was just going to say, I think for the sake of this interview, I think it's been good that I haven't seen it because, so I'm turning it into a positive because not all the listeners will have seen it. No. So you've had to explain it to me you're an idiot.
Yeah. And has it made you want to see it?
It's made me really want to see it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Just send me some tape.
You've proved yourself to be an incredibly professional broadcaster.
Thank you.
By having done none of your homework. respect it.
Yeah. Well, what about this season then, Brett, as a fellow Tottenham fan? Well, I mean, I'm going in with complete... Yeah. I have no expectations at all. I go in with a completely... I've never been so relaxed ahead of a Tottenham season. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited about the manager. Look, there's an episode of Ted Lasso season one, the title of which is It's the Hope That Kills You, which very much came out of a conversation that we had in the writer's room about being a Tottenham fan. And, it's very hard, isn't it? It's hard. You just have to believe every single year and you believe and you get your heart broken and you come back like an abusive marriage. You just keep coming back day.
I go into this season with no hope. So I'm just thinking, what's going to happen? I've got no idea how it's going to work out. I don't know what Brian Hill's like. I've got no idea. So I'm thinking, I'll be glad to be back in the place, having a pint of Necco with my mates and watching a game of football. That's fundamentally all I'm looking forward to. And the football, as it often is, will either be a bonus or a curse.
I actually think that's a very, that actually, what's annoyed me about what you just said is you saying you're going into it with no hope, which is a new attitude, has unfortunately given me hope. Because now I'm like, oh, maybe that's the secret. Maybe then we'll win.
That could be it. Okay, all the best with season two of Ted Lasso. Brett, good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Oh, yeah, I love talking to you too. Thanks very much for having me on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
First of our live races from Glorious Goodwood coming up shortly. The Richmond Stakes at 2:25. Lee McKenzie is looking after us this afternoon. That's because Rupert Bell and Lizzie Kelly, who've been with us all week, are up in Newcastle.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they're hungover. They can't be bothered to come on anymore.
No, they're coming. No. They're joining us now because it's the launch of the Racing League. It's going to be moving around the country, but it's Newcastle Racecourse tonight. And they join us now. Good afternoon, both.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
You made it up then, Rupert. You didn't completely mess up the flight ticket. So you managed to get Lizzie up there.
I did manage to get Lizzie on the plane and Izzy and me as well. And we've arrived in good time, got up nice and early. It was the hotel we stayed at Heathrow last night, just sort of share the pain with it. It was sort of Legoland hell, if you know what I mean. The people who were in this particular hotel. And it was, I actually made a culinary faux pas. I had fish with red wine because that was, but that was the limited choice. But Lizzie felt at home because she said it was just like being in the stable lads accommodation and getting in the weighing room. So she was very happy last night. So she tucked in big time.
So it was full of kids and parents who'd been to Legoland that day. So you had a lot of tired, emotional kids sort of crying, did you? Is that what it was like?
I think that would be about the size of it.
Yeah, it's like a sort of
I don't
want
to go to bed. Don't make me go to bed. That's mum.
Long queues. That's mum. Big long queues. £8 for an ice cream.
That's right. Yeah.
There was no air conditioning in some of the rooms and mine. So basically, I've lost about 10 kilos because I woke up in a pool of sweat. But it's a lovely picture.
Marvellous, nice. Thank you. Well, that's a joy.
2:19.
You're rival managers. You're both managing teams. So I'm surprised you're prepared. There's no sort of, trash talk going on. It all seems very civilised.
Well, she's got no chance. Her team's got no chance. Then. Do you want me to go trash talking? The Racehorse Lotto team, I've looked through. TalkSport are going to smash it out of the park, Gosforth Park, to give it its proper name here later on today.
Obviously, I'm in a little bit of a odd position, really, because my rival team is TalkSport, but I also work for them. So it's,
be careful what you're saying.
You've got to be very careful.
So what do you think then? Have you got any chance?
Oh, I think we'll beat you, but it'll be very pleasant.
That was beautifully got out of. You would have made a great boxer from that point of view. It's going to be very pleasant. I will definitely knock you. I'll knock you out in the fourth, but pleasantly.
So there's 50 grand on each race tonight.
Yeah.
And is it like a posh point to point? Is it like a really good fast race tonight? Or what is it tonight?
Well, there are six different races, each worth 50,000. Normally, these horses will be running for, say, £12,000 in the kind of grade they are. So it's a really good initiative. OK, we've got 12 different teams, trainers allocated to each team, jockeys to each team as well. They will run in team colours. So Talk Sports, I think, from a commentator's point of view, I think it's black and yellow, but I think they're the Talk Sport colours, or predominantly black anyway. Lizzie's team will run in pink, so it won't be the owner's colours, but as Lizzie and I have been saying, the owners are more than happy to have their horses running for first prizes of £25,000, when normally they might be trying to pick up £2,000 for winning a race.
And it's all on Sky Sports Racing, I understand, Lizzie, so people can follow it tonight, can't they?
Yeah, it's all on Sky Sports, and it's quite a clever way of, they've got basically a point system, so the teams will pick up points, and then at the end of the six Thursday meetings, obviously all the points will be totted up and the winner will be decided. And then I think there's a bonus prize for the winning team as well.
Yes, and all six races tonight will be live on TalkSport as well.
Oh,
and I've just seen Goffey's just got here. He's headed up the A1. He's tucking into his healthy-looking salad as we speak, to be part of the drive programme starting from 4. So, and I think it's great that TalkSport have got behind it because sport, like the 100, all sports needs new ideas. This is bringing fresh money into the sport, and in the current climate, I think that can only be applauded.
And it's going on the road, isn't it? You're at Windsor. I mean, it might be a couple of nights at Newcastle, but it's not just based in Newcastle every Thursday. You're around the country.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's two Doncasters, two Newcastles, a Lingfield and a Windsor.
Excellent.
I think.
Like
well, basically, we're just being pointed in the direction by Izzy because they obviously know I'm incapable of organising my travel arrangements. So I basically need to be pointed and hopefully I end up at the right race course.
And as, as team manager, you have to get everyone in a huddle, all the horses in a huddle at the start. And
like, will a horse
give them a big team talk, put their hooves around each other.
Do you know what? Rupert's got his cheerleading pom-poms at the ready.
Good
stuff. What a mental image that is. Rupert is a cheerleaver. Get out.
We've got to go to Goodwood, haven't we, Paul? I don't know. leave that image in our heads.
Poor old Lee now commentating on the 225. Lee and my pom-pom.
Going to see you in a short skirt with ankle socks on. What a hellish thought.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, Charlie, summer is finally here.
It is, Paul.
And the TalkSport shop, which is very much a summer business, bit like Rock Shop ice creams and the Christmas shop.
Of course.
It's very much open.
Just...
Yeah, I couldn't think of any other shops that are seasonal, really.
Seasonal shops.
Doesn't matter anyway.
No, firework shop.
Yeah, okay. Cover up with a TalkSport branded cap or keep cool with your own TalkSport water bottle.
Yes, you can also grab the brilliant new TalkSport book, Paul.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The top five of almost everything, where you can read TalkSport presenters Adrian Durham, Darren Goff, and a host of other presenters' top fives, from Elvis songs and sporting showmen to German sports stars, Premier League bargains, FA Cup finals, and favourite gangster films.
So head to TalkSport.com/shop today. Terms and conditions apply. So, Celtic beaten last night in the Champions League qualifier against
you
Michelin.
Called it, Paul. You did call it.
I did say after the draw last week, I did say yourself, oh, they're going to lose it again. I just got a bad feeling about this. They have a new man in charge. He's only just really got his feet under the table. He's looking to make new signings. It's been fairly slow progress. People have been our assistant producer saying he's got four games left.
We've been saying he's got six games. I think you get six games as Celtic manager.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, look, let's find out if the natives are getting restless. Comedian and Celtic fan Susie McCabe joins us. Hi, Susie.
How you doing, lads?
Yeah, very good.
Is it Ange out? Are you making a banner? Have you got some paint out on a big white sheet and you're writing Ange out? You're going to march on Parkhead?
I think the general consensus seems to be Ange needs support, and it's the board out as opposed to Ange out. You know, I think he's conducted himself well in interviews, and he can only work with the tools he's got. And right now, they're not very good.
No, I think that I'm glad you said that, because that would, you know, you've got to give the guy a chance. I saw him interviewed after the game saying, look, maybe I haven't made it clear enough that I need more players. I mean, plus the fact, even I didn't only saw the highlights, but players like Odson Edouard, it's a pretty good chance he'll be gone by the start of the season. You do wonder if sometimes it's better to move those players on sooner and get players in. I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't want to play for the club, but, you know, you don't want to foul up a big transfer, do you, a couple of weeks before you potentially go? You want players that are committed to the shirt, don't you?
That's it. You know, he's done his time. He wants a move, and that's fair enough if he wants a move. It's his career, and I totally understand that. And now that you've not qualified for the Champions League, we need to have that big sale. We need to have that sale. It's what we've done with Kieran Tierney a couple of seasons ago. It's what we do. We need that money in to make up for that loss. So, and if the lad doesn't want to be there, you know, let him go. Let him go and have his career and be happy, and let us bring people in who are committed to doing a good job for Celtic. And that's the way the world. I don't expect loyalty from, you know, a 22-year-old French guy.
He wasn't born round the corner like the Lisbon Lions, was he, really?
No,
it's not one of those.
No, you know, and even then, you know, you look at a guy like Kieran Tierney, who, you know, Celtic through and through, and even if he didn't want to make that move to Arsenal, I think he would have been in a hostage situation and thrown in a boat and driven down to the Emirates, you know? I mean, money talks. We're a big club in a very small financial pond, and he has to go. And do you know what? I think Ange needs a season and a half to two seasons. I will happily concede the league this season for him to get players in and build up. And because sometimes that's what you've got to do in football. You can't just look short. You've got to look long term.
Postecoglount is what I think you're looking for. But anyway,
oh, yeah, of course, of course. I wonder why you were keeping quiet.
What you were looking for.
You were trying to work that out.
I was trying to work it out. Is that a problem, Susie, that, you know, then the Celtic manager isn't allowed a transition season? They're just not given that time.
I think the damage that has been done in the past 18 months to 2 years, and what has happened at the club in that time, I think the very least we can do as support is allow him the time to try and do what he wants to do. The thing is, he does come across well in interviews. He seems a real kind of even straight talking, typical kind of Aussie, which I like. I like that. And I think what we need to do is give him the money, get the players in, let him target that, because I don't doubt that he wouldn't be successful with his own. I think he coaches well. I've seen some of the videos. I've listened to a lot of Aussie sport journals talking about him, and some UK sports journalists based in Japan. He wants to play football the way Celtic fans want football played, but he can't do it. You know, you can't send a plumber into a job with a set of pliers and a screwdriver, you know. That's what it comes down to. So, you know, we've got a billionaire owner who maybe needs to dip into his billions and just throw him a couple of quid.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what he was angling at last night. But Europa League still, Jablonec, you take on the Czech side.
Is it the same one as Spurs? The sort of
I think they're not into the conference plate.
The one you're in.
It's, they don't go that far down the food chain. It's the proper Europa League, Susie, isn't it? You've got.
It is, but we'll wait and see. But European football, I always think great. It's really exciting. It gives you that midweek rhythm of, you know, a midweek game, a weekend game, a midweek game, a weekend game. I don't think it would be, financially it wouldn't be great, but I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world for Postecoglou and the team to have a season out from it and build up in jail. And also just play every Saturday, because I think that's also a bit of a thing. If you're the team playing on the Saturday and you can get a bit of momentum, the team that's playing in Europe, not only are running the risk of injuries and tiredness and all that, they are always playing catch-up. But that's me working on the basis that Celtic will be close enough to be playing catch-up, which I'm not entirely convinced about, to be honest, lad.
You know, Jurgen Klopp gets off to a terrible start, is sacked by Christmas. Steven Gerrard turns up at Liverpool on New Year's Day, right? And then the Rangers project falls apart. Postecoglou leads Celtic to the championship. Is the new 10 in a row back on, Susie?
Listen, we can but hope. Do you know the thing with Postecoglou? And there is a story here, and he done this interview and they went, well, you weren't first choice, you know, anyhow, what do you think of being second choice? And he just said, I might have been fifth choice, which I thought, what a great answer. But I think for me, there's a bit of a Celtic story here where this could all be a disaster, which could happen, or he could be the man that no one seen coming in, no one wanted in, and he's came in and he could turn that around eventually, and he could go on to be a great Celtic manager. And there's kind of a hint of a Celtic story in there somewhere, because, you know, we do love a romantic story in football, you know.
As you said, he is highly rated in Australia, and everybody has said that, you know, they're all really willing him on. They think he'll do well. So let's hope he gets the chance. Are you out gigging again, Susie, at the moment?
Yes. Still on the Beer Garden tour. Yeah. Still doing that this weekend, and I get to go back to the Edinburgh Stand Comedy Club this weekend.
Lovely stuff.
Listen, it's one of the best in the country, so that's going to be great. And then in London in the next couple of weeks to do the store. So just, it's starting to kick in again. So really, really just enjoying it.
Well, if you're about, you fancy popping in to see us in the studio, it'd be lovely to see you.
Always, lads. Always. You take care.
There we are. Cheers, that's Susie McCabe, their comedian, Celtic fan. I'm glad to hear this.
She's giving Postecoglou 18 months, Paul.
Wow, that, yeah. I mean, I had John Hartson talking about
I don't think
this.
That's going to be...
You're right, Charlie. Do they get the opportunity
get
to,
the time, build, to build a, t- build
if
get, a team?
If he gets
you?
A bit of support, I think they've got potentially got a good guy there.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
But we don't know, anyway. Do we? We don't know. Is the
they're still in
very highly rated.
Beaten. They're still in the Europa League. They're still in a better competition than my lot.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on TalkSport, watching the boxing unfold on our monitors. Well,
is it live, Paul? Well, we never know, do
it's
we?
It's not live. It's kind of be 1 a.m. in the morning, wouldn't it?
Well, so it's Hazel Irvine.
Fraser Clark is through. Charlie Davidson went out earlier on. We got some very
it's the big
boxes.
Lads, isn't it, fighting at the moment? Big
yeah,
lads.
It was. Yeah, super heavies. Yeah, very good.
Big guys.
Well, you know, we've got a good record in that. So anyway,
Tom Jones has been caught live. Paul, this is a review in the Daily Star.
Oh, okay, it's a review. I thought he's been captured live. Yeah,
not someone's not gone fishing.
I didn't know what it was after Tom for dead or alive.
Nigel, by the way.
Yeah, okay, yeah. You've got to go on there, Charlie. You've got to be a guest on Fisherman's Blues.
I'd like that. You
go fishing on a regular basis. You'd be a good guest.
I love fishing. I think
they've had them all on there. David Seaman was on the other
one. Had them all on there. David Seaman.
You'd be good.
I mean, yeah, I don't think I know enough about fishing to really bother.
What all Nigel wants is your enthusiasm for the sport.
Well,
he doesn't
love it.
He doesn't want expertise.
Yeah, I've been catching. I caught the other day a roach.
Quite
a nice big silvery roach. Mm-hmm. And perch is what I normally catch. Little copper spinners I use, Paul.
These are all the tips that the lay people
want. Really like it. A Meps spinner. They seem quite expensive because you do lose them quite a lot.
Yeah.
But they feel less cruel. Then I didn't like putting a hook through a worm, basically.
Oh, really?
So a little spinner.
Wow, you don't like doing that.
But they work. Really works.
Good. Well,
anyway, Tom Jones has been caught live. I don't know what bait they used for Tom Jones. Knickers, I suppose.
He likes the luncheon meat. He likes luncheon meat or cheese on a pole. A bit of cheese on a pole, you'll catch Tom.
You get it on there. We're on the end of your hook. Yeah, but on a boilie.
Yeah.
And then they went to see him live, and that sounds good fun, doesn't it? You know, and he's like, oh, I bet you're all pleased to finally be out. And, you know, he started doing the gig. He played his new album.
Yeah.
His whole new album. It's all sort of grown up ballads and didn't do the greatest hits, Paul.
Really?
Just did the new album and got off the stage.
Not even as a sort of...
Not even as
medley,
an encore, you know.
Medley at the end.
You come back on, give you Delilah, give you Green Grass of Home. None of that, Paul.
Wow.
Just the new album.
Never plays well, that.
It's dreadful, isn't it? I went to see the Beach Boys once.
Yeah.
And they started off, you know, Good Vibrations, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
really
good stuff. California hits. Girls, all the hits. Here's the new record. Everyone goes to the toilet.
They do.
Yeah, everyone goes to the toilet.
Yeah, I think you've got to get a balance. Showcase the new stuff. Play the old stuff.
Exactly.
Now, a Hungarian swimmer's making exclusive, even though he won the gold medal. Christoph Milak won gold by nearly 2 seconds in the 200 metres butterfly.
That's massive in swimming, isn't it? 2 seconds.
Yeah, he said the world record went, from his point of view, the moment he ripped his trunks before he got underway. Oh. They split 10 minutes before I entered the pool, he said. And in that moment, I knew the world record had gone. See, it's all in the mind, or indeed in the trunks. He said afterwards, he was showing the trunks to everybody, whether they wanted to see him or not, poking his finger through the tail. Oh. And then saying,
"It's an elephant with white ears."
You're lethal, you are, Charlie. Lethal. But no, he was doing all of that and said, "My focus went." So a little tiny.
He shouldn't have been doing the old trick with the finger out of the hole, should he?
A little tiny split in the trunks. God, you keep me on my toes, don't you? With your old school bents.
Well, didn't they in the swimming? They had to ban it. Then they had the suits, didn't they? Have the shark suits for a while, didn't they? Ban that. So his shorts have let
you
him down.
You might catch
there.
Yourself a swimmer one day. on the
If you go to the old magnet fishing, have you seen the old magnet fishing there?
Catching grenades and
Dean
stuff.
Dean Moxie, Talkie's left back, is into magnet fishing. He's been this summer. And they often round me, they do magnet fishing. They often catch like bombs and they have to shut the bridge and they'll catch a bike or whatever. But they'll catch in the old World War II hand grenades and stuff.
Yeah, it's a dangerous business. You've got to be careful.
There we are, magnet fishing.
Anyway, we'll move on. Maybe you're the person to do Talk Sport's new magnet fishing show. That would be a winner.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talk Sport.
10 birthdays. Andy Jacobs will supply not just the birthdays, but the gilt-edged gags to go with him. He joins us now. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm a little bit worried because going early affects the quality of the gags. They haven't had time to ferment.
Really? Right, they haven't had time to go off. To quite, yeah, exactly. Like an old ripe brie. There's a story saying Kurt Zouma could be going to West Ham, Andy. I'll just get a football reaction from you at Chelsea. What do you make of that?
Yeah, if we have Declan Rice, that'll be fine. Thanks.
Oh, that's a fair. Sounds like a fair swap to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's part of the Koundé deal, I thought, but it's difficult to know what's going on with Chelsea. I feel at the end of the day, when it comes to the 31st of August, Abramovich should have done his usual and bought absolutely nobody once we've won something. He always does that.
Oh, well, so that's we'll what they're saying, yeah. West Ham in talks, Sky say.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of selling, not a lot of buying.
Yeah, Conor Gallagher's going to go on loan again, they're saying, to Palace, potentially. So, anyway, so Andy supplies the gags. We need someone to keep the score after a fashion. And that job is done by from his East Midlands Nerve Centre, Philbert the Fox, Jeff Peters. Good afternoon, Jeff. With the phone going off at the same time.
Yeah,
almost
good
like it's a sound effect.
I'm just interested to know with Andy, that Koundé deal. Is it Jason Koundé who's going to Chelsea?
Koundé.
Jason looks very fit at the moment.
Yeah,
so
he's in good shape. He could do a job at
Always
center.
Breathing in. It's one of the two.
I don't like Koundé. It's just another manic Koundé. Anyway.
You play
rainy days in Koundé.
You know what Andy's like if you start doing jokes? He doesn't like it.
Memo.
He flounces. So anyway, 10 birthdays. Charlie and I have got to guess the ages of the people. Charlie beat me last week. And my record against Max has been rather good. But Charlie beat me last week. Fair and square, with a very good performance. And so, I think we might as well
Pressure's
get underway. Pele always joins us for the music. Play along at home, see how you get on. And Andy, what's the first birthday?
Well, the first birthday, very happy birthday to Sir Mick Jagger. Sir Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones, of course, not the plumber. Yeah. And he's a keen football fan, and we were discussing the managerial problems Gary and Phil had had at Valencia and Inter Miami. I was critical, but Mick had sympathy for the Nevilles.
Since the early kickoff, I think.
Yeah, I think it has certainly. So, Charlie, you lead off.
You're going to say 78 years old.
Winner kicks on. And so, who was it again?
Mick Jagger.
Oh, it was Mick's birthday.
Yeah, 78 years old, I'm saying.
He's got to be in that vicinity, isn't he? I'll go 79.
Yeah, he's 78.
78. Ooh. Okay, Charlie makes a good start. Almost like he looked at the paper.
No, not at all. I've genuinely done no cheating this week.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't even last week. But I'm just like, I thought it's going to get thrown at me, and I absolutely have done no cheating.
I made a conscious effort not to cheat this time, is what Charlie just said.
Absolutely. So, what's
the scores, Jeff? It's pretty easy to work out.
Yeah, I mean, proper mind games going on from Paul there. Bitter after last week. It's Paul 1, Charlie 0.
Okay, next birthday then.
Okay, the actress, fine actress, Sandra Bullock. And her two sisters were on a softball team I was managing, but they were all contractually obliged to play. I was never allowed to drop a bullock.
No, of course, I understand. I'd say Sandra Bullock is, I don't know, 51. What do you think, Charlie?
I've written down 52.
Have you written that down?
I've written that down.
Yeah, he has. He's written it down.
You know what? She's 57. I'm surprised.
No, she's wearing well, isn't she?
Tell you what.
So it's Paul 7, Charlie 5.
I tell you what. Sometimes you don't even need to say it to know what you're saying.
Listen, you say the word bullock to a Devonshire man.
Yeah, that's true. It stirs the blood. So what's the scores? Sorry, Jeff.
Paul 7, Charlie 5.
Okay, marvellous. Okay.
Still pretty close. So often is with Charlie. The ones you know. Yeah. Yes, it's the fine tennis player we've talked about on the show before, Harriet Dart. Harriet Dart. Yeah. And I was at a function recently testing the popularity of tennis families. The Murrays got a lot of votes, but I said, stand up if you love the darts.
That's nice.
Hey.
There we are. Charlie, Harriet Dart.
I don't know who this is, so this could be... I don't know if she's like an old tennis player or a current tennis player.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's the game, isn't it?
That's the game, isn't it? I'm going to say she's 28.
I think she's a bit younger than that, but not much. It could have been worse. She could have said 86.
Yeah.
She's Harriet Dart. What's she, about 19?
No, 25.
Is she really? Blimey. Yeah. God, I'm getting them all wrong. I'm being kind to the ladies today. I'm going under their age.
Very charming, Paul.
Very charming. Yeah, Rupert. This is the Rupert Bell system.
And I see your sister is here.
I'm employing the Rupert Bell system. So what's that done to the scores?
Well, Charlie has won all three. So it's Charlie 8, Paul 13.
Okay, well.
Still not much, is there? Long way to go.
I'll kick us off.
Okay, I think the last of the ones you know probably, it's Fran Healy from Travis. Healy. Yeah. He's just recorded a new single, actually, with John Ketley about an incredibly localised persistent shower on the left-back position in the turf moor area. Why does it always rain on me?
Yes.
Lovely.
Why does it always rain on Ben Me?
That's right.
Exactly. We're with you.
Is it me?
I know.
No, it's me.
And this is me.
This is me.
I love Ben Me.
We were asking earlier on, what's the point of point to point, weren't we? We're going to 08717.
If you can't get a pint of the point to point, what's the point?
If you can't get a pint of the point to point, what's the point? That's how we warm up for the show, believe it or not. Well, you probably can listening to the show. So I'd say Fran Healy, 53.
45.
48. Ooh. Set in between.
Bang in the middle.
Okay, so...
Yeah, it's bang in the middle.
We'll stand at the scores, Jeff.
Charlie wins again. That's four wins for Charlie. Charlie 11, Paul 18.
Wow, still
one,
tight.
One wrong and you're still out. You know,
we're going to half-time then, just for half-time.
Yes, we get, here's the first of the ones you probably don't know. Okay. Maybe you do, but it's the particle physicist, Professor Frank Close. Frank Close, particle physicist. He had a very interesting technique for turning the whole mass into particles. He'd smash it against his own forehead.
Oh, that's very good. Yes, beautiful. Yes.
The Close family.
The Close family. Brian, as in Brian, you know, it needs a fair bit of assumed knowledge of old cricketers.
I get it.
Yeah, you get it. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
What do you think?
Is it me? Yeah, 68.
Okay, yeah, that's not a bad guess, you know. I don't know if it's a good guess or a bad guess. 78.
76.
Now,
I think you can up, I think.
We're going to half time. Let's see what the scores are.
It's very, very interesting. So Paul is 2 out on that. Charlie is 8 out. So it closes the gap. It's Paul 20, Charlie 19. And I actually know Frank Close.
Do
I do
really?
Karaoke with him quite a bit. He often does Wannabe by the Spice Girls, but he always misses one bit of the song out. It's Close, but no Zigga Zigga.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Goodness sake.
Goodness me.
Would you open with that, Charlie?
I can see why you've gone for once a week.
So we're heading to half-time with the scores. 19 playing 20. I hope you're doing slightly better than us at home. So how will it all pan out? Will Charlie make it 2 out of 2 and really embarrass Max Rushton and possibly ruin the latter stages of his holiday? We'll find out very shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
It's 19-20. Charlie's one in the lead as we head into the second half. Pelé's back. And I'm going to kick this one off. Take it away, Andy.
Yes, always have one that I try and hide in the middle, and this is it. It's Bob Diamond. Diamond, the chief executive of Barclays, 2011-2012. And I'll never forget that garden party he held in his fabulous house in the country. Right in the middle of the lawn was a natural hot spring that erupted every 15 minutes. It was a diamond geezer.
Hey! I just buried that one in the middle. Like episode 3, episode 4.
Very much so.
70, I'm going to go for. What do you think, Charlie?
76.
Oh.
Ooh, 70.
There it is.
Man, Bob Diamond.
Beginning of the end.
So what's that done at the scores?
Oh, no. Well, it's turned it around. Paul is in the lead for the first time in this closely contested contest. It's Paul 20, Charlie 25.
Nothing in it, though. Volatile.
Yeah, despair not, Charlie. We've got some really tricky ones coming up now. Starting with the singer. He's a Rebel was a big hit. I don't know it. Darlene Love. Love.
He's and a at rebel one time, and he'd never ever been any good.
Oh, you know her, okay.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's good. That's nice. At one time, she was also an Olympic pole vaulter. I don't know if you know that, Charlie. And I was watching the games with John Paul Young. And as Darlene passed over the bar, he said to me, "Love is in the air."
That's nice.
Love is in the air. Everywhere I look around.
Olympic theme, I thought, quite good there.
Goodness, yeah. What do you think, Charlie? You're first on this one, Darlene Love.
I'm going to say 79.
Okay, 76 I'll go.
Yeah, very good, Charlie. 80. I didn't even know she was. So tremendous. Wow. Well, see, Max would have thought she was about 23.
They were all teenagers, weren't they, in the 60s? Because in the teenage girl groups, and you have to just sort of try and add it on from there.
That's true. I like the way you're working it out. It's good. You're workshopping it, aren't you?
So I hope Max is listening to this.
I know. Charlie's
doing really well. Yeah. It's 26 Charlie, 24 Paul. So Paul has a narrow lead with 3 to go.
Okay, three to go.
It's a very happy birthday to the sculptor, James Butler. James Butler, the sculptor. Yeah. And he used to rent a studio from the late English comedy actor Stephen Lewis, who was fine until James had one too many unsold works blocking the entrance. He says to him, get that bust out, Butler.
There we are. On the bus's material. As fresh now as it was 50 years ago.
I hate you, Jacobs.
James Butler, do you know who he is?
I don't even know who that comedy actor is that Andy said.
It's Stephen Lewis played Blakey in On the Bus.
Okay.
So anyway,
bust out.
Yeah, we're with you.
So this is going to be the decider.
This is tough because he could be anything. He could be James Butler. Could be 20. He could be
sculptor.
Yeah, I mean, 68. I'm going to take a chance.
I'm going up there as well, Paul. I was thinking up there. 73.
He's 90.
Wow. See, it's that sort of name. Yeah. Could be a kid, couldn't he?
See, James,
What's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Just using my calculator here.
I did try and delay it as long as I could.
Got any jokes?
Yeah.
So Paul is 22 out. Yep. Charlie 17 out. So Paul is on 46, Charlie 43. So Charlie has a 3 lead with 2 to go.
It's a ding-dong do, isn't it?
Really, it's lovely, isn't it?
It's very close,
back to Charlie,
Is it 3 to go? I thought it's 2 to go.
Oh, sorry, 2 to go. Sorry, 2 to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Blimey, I got
just testing.
Anyway, it's a very happy birthday to the mountaineer, Catherine d'Estaval. Catherine d'Estaval. And every year in August, I used to watch her climb Arthur's Seat, high above Scotland's capital. I always loved the Edinburgh d'Estaval.
Yeah. Nice.
Lovely. That was very nice.
Catherine d'Estaval,
a mountaineer. I mean, mountains have been around a long time, Paul. There's no clue in the job, is there? You know, when
Catherine d'Estaval could be young.
I'm going to go 62. So this could be a decider, Paul, if you think she's 19
or
something.
I'll go 73.
Charlie's hot today. She's 61.
Oh, so what's that done to the scores, Jeff? Was he going to the final one?
Yeah, Paul 12 out, Charlie 1 out. Charlie on fire today. Charlie 44, Paul 58. So 14 between these red hot contenders.
Paul goes first.
One left.
What a guy! It's great to have this level of competition. I tell you.
Yeah.
No, Charlie, you go first because you're in the lead.
Oh, right. Yes. Otherwise, I could just completely cheat. Yes.
Yes, that would be very unfair. Okay, a very happy birthday to Air Vice Marshal GC Larry Lamb. Larry Lamb, former rugby referee, former international rugby referee. Yeah. He was known for his incredibly clean warm-up jacket. His fleece was white as snow.
That's beautiful.
78.
Okay, I'm going to go... what should I go? 78, you've gone 78.
Feels quite old now I've said it, but there we are.
78. I'm going to go 90. I've got to, haven't I? 93.
Air Vice Marshal GC Larry Lamb is 98.
Oh, he's done it. He's done it. Well done, Paul. Well done, Paul.
That's a death.
Very good. That's what the greats do, you see. They look like they've got time. They look like they've got time. Well done, Paul.
Yeah, just that first touch.
Air Vice Marshal.
You can tell from the first touch.
You can tell, can't you?
Can tell.
What a game.
So dramatic.
What a game.
Charlie, you nicked it at the death on the final one last week.
Last week, I did.
Paul has done it today. So it was 61-60 last week, 64-63 this week. So Paul gets his revenge. So I hope Max is listening.
Very good.
To the quality and the skill in these 2 weeks of closely contested birthday spread. Brilliant play.
The way the game should be played, not with the kind of semi-pro nonsense that goes on.
You've got to know who people are.
Yeah.
I think it helps.
Poor old Mrs. is Rushton saying? Are we going to have a really another bad Thursday evening? I told you about last Thursday evening. I'm fine, all right? I'm fine. So,
it's an honour to play the game. Thank you very much. I've really enjoyed it.
You've really given me some competition. Mm. And, yeah.
Nice work.
Kept me on
my
toes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, what a tremendous game that was.
Congratulations, Paul. Well done. Very, very good.
It was down to the wire. Two weeks running.
It was indeed.
Rushton's back next week. Normal service will be resumed, I'm sure. Charlie, thank you for the last couple of weeks.
Thank you, Paul. Always, always a joy to be in this show. I love it.
You will be back on Saturday.
Saturday morning.
With Max. Good.
And we'll have all the usual rubbish.
You have the autobiography
Return
wars?
Of Autobiography War.
Who's head to head, you know?
Oh, I think it's Elton John v Shane Warne.
Of course it is.
I think it is.
Of course it is. Okay, Andy's back with me tomorrow. We'll have clips of the week and all that. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.